Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to episode 1.2 of the National Treasures series. Don't look at me like that. Because episode 1.1 was The Visit, and then 1.2 is The Interview.
Just call it episode 2.
Episode 1.2 of series 4 of National Treasures. So obviously last week, you heard us go to the Imperial War Museum at Duxford, where we had a lovely day. And now, I, Will Duggan, and you...
Laura Lex, hello.
...are joined by the man who sent us there, the wonderful Mr. Ed Byrne.
Yeah, I can see that as being a sort of 1.2.
Yeah, it's nice,
don't
isn't it?
Well, side this early.
Because on, then there'll be a 1.3 and a 1.4 as well.
Wait, what, there's more about Duxford?
So, people that listened to the episode we did at Duxford are going to pick up two things they like. Oh, I'd love a deeper dive on that.
Okay.
And Laura and I are going to take it in turns to do them. So people get a real full feeling of the
you
day.
You get a month at Duxford, basically,
well,
with
yeah,
the National
Treasures. You do get good value out of it.
Well, and it really cuts down the cost of doing the podcast.
Well, hello. Thank you for sending us.
Not at all. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah. And I'm surprised I did, because honestly, in the car on the way there, I was like, I love going for a day out. I like chatting with Will. It's not a hard day job to have. But I was like, I don't know how much I'm going to care about planes. It's not my natural wheelhouse.
No, no. Well, it's for me, I think part of the appeal is my dad is retired now, but used to fix airplanes for Aer Lingus.
Okay.
He was a sheet metal worker. And I don't think I... Only because I was doing this podcast and I had to think about what it is I like about Duxford, because previously I've just said, well, it's just a great place to go with kids. You know, they absolutely love it there.
Mm.
And there is a playground.
Yeah.
You know.
With a great climbing frame shaped like an aeroplane.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, my kids are, this is what they were like, particularly when they were younger, is that they would get in a climbing frame shaped like an aeroplane and pretend it was a tractor. Like, I genuinely think when my kids were sort of 4 and 5, you could put them at the controls of the space shuttle and they would pretend it was a tractor. That's all they would care
and
about.
And you never thought to take them to Diggerland?
You know what? Never took them to Diggerland. Do you know why I never took them to Diggerland? It's because my wife's dad and brother are both farmers and they have tractors.
Yeah.
And we can just take them to free Diggerland.
Yeah,
where they get
better
to go on Matt Bros. And
I've sort of been a little bit distracted thinking, I'd love a go on a digger.
Yeah.
I'd love a go on a digger.
Well, what you need to do is you need to find a celebrity who sends you to Diggerland. That's
yeah.
what you need to have happen.
Who's from farming stock?
Yeah, but people who are in a farmer won't go to Diggerland. You need somebody who has absolutely no connection to farming who then would go to Diggerland because they don't get that itch scratched on home soil.
Yeah, if you're a celebrity and you're listening, you like Diggerland.
You like Diggerland, please.
But anyway. If you're an incel.
What?
But like, grown men going to Diggerland's weird.
Carry on,
they
sorry.
So, but I think as well as that, as well as being a great place to take the kids, because a couple of times when I was a kid, my dad did take us to the workshop and we were able to just look around and climb into engines that obviously had no, there was no, I don't think there was any danger of them getting turned on. So in a way, I'm sure health and safety and indeed security probably wouldn't allow nowadays for you to just wander around into a fuselage of an airplane that's under construction. I think it, because there's a workshop bit in Duxford that you can go into, a restoration bit, yeah.
We walked into, because you can walk through the Concorde and through the BOAC, what was it called? But one of the earlier
planes. Yeah.
But you walked right into the cockpit, and I realised that I'd never actually been near a cockpit of a plane before, because like I was 13 when 9/11 happened, and I'd been on a plane once in my life, and they just shut them off. And it was amazing to be so close to the mechanics of the plane. Like that was a really good thing I'd done, sort of how interactive it was. Like, you know, in that first hall with all those planes, and you can... And he said to Laura, I've never been so close to a plane. Forgetting I've been on a fucking plane.
You don't generally get that close to the outside of a plane.
No.
I'm walking around underneath them. You're just like, man, the wings are big, aren't they?
Yeah, in a way, they packed it almost too much, particularly into that hangar.
There's
two hangars where there's a whole load of planes. There's that one, and there's one right up the far end, the American hangar, which you guys didn't go to.
Because
it's always the last one that people go to, but it's the best one. It's got a Blackbird in it, which is the fastest plane ever.
Right.
It's a spy plane that the Americans...
You were looking at me so intently, like, it's got a Blackbird in it, and I was like, I want to react.
What's
that? I want to give you something back, but I don't know.
It's like a flying cigar. And again, it was one of those ones that, you know, my older brother did a lot of Airfix kits when he was younger, and I remember that one being particularly cool.
Yeah.
And but it's almost, they're almost too packed in. They're so cheap by gel, and they're like, some are above others, and that you don't, you almost, it's hard to take in the splendour or sheer scale of any single one of them, because there's another one right next to it.
But I will say, to a person like me who wandered in going like, I wonder if I'll like this, the scale of how many things were packed in there made it really cool, as you just go, oh, even if you don't like planes, 30 planes in one room is good. Like, that's a lot.
But it also has that in that same building upstairs. You've got that whole thing of how planes fly.
Amazing.
And most of which, considering how long they've been there, most of the interactive exhibits there still work. Mm-hmm. The amount of museums I've been to over the years, again, with the kids, with interactive, in inverted commas, exhibits, none of them ever work.
Yeah.
It's always a room full of blank screens with signs saying this is under maintenance. Really? Because there were
six elements to that bit, and one of them was out for maintenance.
Yes, I think there was
but
one.
The others were fantastic. Though I tried to go on the flight simulator where you have to keep level and speed. And I did it for a few minutes and thought, I've smashed this. Tried to crash the plane. It won't let you crash the plane. Mm-hmm. You reach zero and then suddenly you're at 9,000 feet again.
Oh.
It's a real jip for me. I wanted to feel the thrill.
I wanted to break something.
Yeah.
Well, there's a reason why none of them died for maintenance, because they've got obviously built-in ways that you can't break them.
Yeah, they've got wheel-proof exhibits. Does the science of stuff like that make sense to you? Because, like, even when I was looking at that science and they were like, so the air goes over the wing and the plane goes up, I was like, no, that doesn't...
It's very... That whole thing of lift is quite counterintuitive.
That is... It's magical.
In that the region where the air is moving faster is therefore lower pressure, and where it's slowed down underneath is higher pressure, so that makes it go up. But it looks wrong, doesn't it? It looks like it should be... Because if you were to turn it upside down and then you were to skim that across the water, it'd go up, wouldn't it? You know what I mean? Like, if you were to...
What?
If it was like the bottom of a boat, you'd want it... If you're above water, you want to be curved upwards above water, wouldn't you? Whereas in the air, you need to be curved sort of downwards.
It's the difference in lift and ballast, isn't it? They're almost differential forces. I'm out of my knowledge zone now.
Science like that. It just, the whole, like, how things get in the air. I really enjoyed that exhibition because I was just staring at it thinking, you would have to dumb this down even further for me to be anywhere near it.
But see, like, when I went and visited there, the first or second time, I think, I ended up... buying these books.
So we're at Ed's house recording this, and he's just gone over to his incredible bookshelf all along one wall of the room we're in, and yet three what I'd consider to be textbooks that you might have to read in order to be a pilot.
Also, there's four. That's how non-mathematical law is.
There
are four textbooks.
One of them is different. One of them is a smaller one than the other.
No, Ed, don't quit. It's still a book.
Yeah.
Earlier on, I was just reading the thing of a plane, and I went, this is the something-something Mark 2. It was Mark 1. There was only one line there. I just can't read or do numbers.
But yes, I went there, and we were there. What's great is if you go to Duxford... in the days before they're having a big show, because they put on air shows every now and again, and they get all those antique planes up and flying, and it's amazing seeing the Spitfire and the Sopwith Camel and stuff like that. But if you go there in the week beforehand, they're making sure they run, so you get like you get a free demonstration. You get to see these planes flying around, and I just thought, oh, that's so cool. And I went there. God, I must have gone there. Yeah, it was over 10 years ago, and I went, do you know what? You can get pilot's licenses. That's, I could just do that. I could just get a pilot license, couldn't I?
So did you get a pilot license?
No, I didn't. No, but I did start. I went down the road and I had about 5 lessons and I bought the books and I started studying it. And then my wife went back to work and I had to look after my son. And I was like, oh yeah, that's right. I'm dad now. I don't actually have spare time to do things like this.
Can you take them swimming? No, I'm going flying. It's not, it's not an excuse, is it?
No.
But you could make friends with somebody with a pilot's license and then still get the being up in the air. Or would you like to be the one in charge of the plane?
Yeah, I do quite enjoy that. But the thing is, to be honest, and again, having discussed this with people who do it for a living, it's not like in the States where you could own a plane and you could use it to get around.
Mm.
The weather is such here that, you know, you couldn't just say, I'll go to Ireland next weekend in my plane, or even borrow a plane and go. You just could do the weather. Unless you're a professional airline pilot, you probably won't be instrument rated and stuff like that to be able to just at a moment's notice go from here to there. Because you'll hit some sort of weather that you won't, you know, where you have to fly with instruments only or something like that. And you'll hit the kind of weather that the sort of plane a regular pilot license owner just won't have access to. The kind of plane that doesn't go well in that kind of weather. It's just not... In places like Florida or even places like Spain where it's just sunny all the time, you can study to be a pilot and then you can just bomb around the country in that, you know.
Do you know comedian Dinesh Nathan?
I don't know.
So he's a comedian. He's got a pilot's license. Mm-hmm. And he was telling me a while ago that he was trying to get his instruments only license. It is the hardest thing. So one of the things they do is put you in fog and you just have to just look at everything and be fine. He said the amount of pilots who come out of the fog genuinely upside down.
Right.
Because there's something in their brain says, that says we're level, but I don't believe it.
Uh-huh.
I feel level now. And then you come out and, my God, terrifying.
Yeah.
How can you feel level upside down?
Listen, you know, how come all the world...
I just don't know if we should fly. I think we should just leave the sky alone.
I'm glad you didn't say that while you were asked.
She walked around being like, shit, shit, shit. Sort of camel, more like sort of wanker. It's horrible.
It's sort of interesting, but I don't know. I think maybe we should just stop now. Stop it now. Just stay on the floor. Because now we're starting to mess about with space as well, and that's too far.
That's not just now. That's been going for a while.
It's very silly. I think it's a waste of time.
I think mess around with space really is doing a disservice to the entire aeronautical industry as well.
I just don't want them to touch something silly and then they'll ruin Earth.
What do you think's on the moon?
I don't know. Nobody knows. Well, we know about the moon now, but other places. Anyway, that's getting off topic.
Yeah, I don't think there's much chance of us visiting many other
places. The three of us.
Certainly not the three of us.
I've from White House.
I've not left Europe for about 10 years.
Duncan and Lex go to space. We could do it.
It also blew my mind that I said to Laura on the Concorde, I feel like David Frost.
Mm.
Should know who David Frost was. It blew my mind.
I thought comedians knew stuff.
Yeah. The older I get, the more I'm like, I thought I was quite smart, but I seem to say
so
stupid
smart.
Things.
I don't know a comedian who doesn't at least have some repository of useless information in at least one.
Yeah, I guess mine just
field.
Isn't Concorde.
What is your thing?
What do I know about? I don't know.
Baking.
Baking? I think I know a little about a lot of things. Because I always find that, you know, when people go like, what are your hobbies? And you go, yeah, I should get some hobbies.
Yeah,
I do nothing.
I don't know. I think about comedy and then I write comedy things and then I do more comedy and then I get tired and I go to sleep.
Sometimes I drive to gigs and then I come home and moan they won't put me on telly. I do that a lot. Oh,
yeah?
Yeah.
Well, my big hobby's that one.
Mm-hmm. I quite like history. I like more Civil War era Wars of the Roses history than David Frost history.
Long time ago history.
Yeah, I suppose I find that more... Who is David Frost? He was just a TV presenter.
He was a satirist, interviewer, big chat show host. He's the guy who did the interview with Richard Nixon after Watergate.
There was a film called Frost Nixon with Michael Sheen played him.
But then... I'm not gay, and I've not known who he is.
But it feels like you are. But also, when you brought it up again now.
But when you were a child, he was
in front of somebody else.
He was the host of Through the Keyhole.
Well, why would I have watched Through the Keyhole?
You had days off school.
It was Lloyd Grossman.
He was in the house.
But he was also in. He was also in that. Wasn't he in That Was the Week That Was, which was a very early satire show on British television.
Why were you watching satire shows as a child?
From the 70s.
Yeah, why were you watching
this? More, if you wouldn't was au fait with the history of British comedy, one would know.
Right. No, it didn't come up in the degree I have in stand-up comedy.
But you do.
I do have a degree in stand-up comedy. Yes. David Frost didn't come up. So actually,
and I think that's a real failing of the course, though.
Where was that? Was that in Southampton, then? Is that
Kent.
Where? Kent, Kent did a degree.
I've got an undergraduate master's degree in theatre with a specialisation in stand-up comedy and the history of variety in vaudeville.
Right.
And David Frost just didn't come up. Ask me about Vester Tilly or any of the other ones whose names I now can't remember.
Well, he sounds like a wank, so no.
Who, Vester Tilly? Yeah. It's a she. Hey!
She sounds like a wank.
There's actually a blue plaque of
Stop
hers.
Stop trying to erase female comedy. Will.
Oh, chancy yeah. Bloody fine thing.
So, yeah, Concord, I think, would definitely be
Concord
up there.
Concord would be up there.
But I also, I mean, the Harrier jump jets, the idea of a plane that can take off like a helicopter is pretty amazing.
That's today.
It only occurred to me today at the thing that's why it's called a jump jet, because it jumps up. I've never thought, why is that called a jump jet?
We didn't see one of those there, but I've seen one at the Imperial War Museum, Salford. Have you ever seen, you've seen the Harrier jump jet?
Mm-hmm.
So much smaller than you would think. And a lot of the planes there, the size of them.
Mm-hmm.
You were saying that you'd done some flying lessons. So you've been in the small...
Yeah, I've been in a little Cessna and stuff like that, yeah.
What's that?
They're it's like a car with wings. It's not even like a luxury car with wings. They are so flimsy. You know, little airplanes are incredible to get into. When you think about how high up you are and just how little you're sitting in, it's, it could give one the willies.
I don't know how, I suppose it just doesn't... It makes me more scared than excited air travel. Yeah. I don't get scared on a passenger jet, but I do. So we do the Patreon version of this podcast that we do is years and years, and every week we pick one year from history and we just do a deep dive into it and we just look at it. And there was like one year that I did in about the 70s, I think, when there felt like there was a plane crash of a consumer airline every week. And it was like, that's why there's all these tropes about people being scared of flying. Because they did just used to fly into mountains. Like, every week 300 people died. It was...
And if you want to hear more of that kind of stuff, you can go to patreon.com/national treasures.
But it makes me a bit... See, one of the questions I was going to ask was like, if you were serving military, would you choose air or sea?
It's funny, I have done some troop shows over the years. And I remember talking to the RAF guys, the engineers there. And what's interesting about the Air Force is that it's the officers who go to war. And the sort of the lower ranks who get to stay behind.
Okay.
And that's the main difference, generally, between the Army and the Air Force. Whereas, in the Army, it tends to be a bit of that forwardy cry from the rear, you know. Whereas the lower ranks, make sure the plane's running. And then...
The gentleman
comes
in.
Anyway, Captain, off you go. So I think I'd like to be... A higher rank in the Army or a lower rank in the Air Force.
you're not bothered as long as there's no combat.
Yeah, okay. I think I just find boats a bit more... I understand how to get excited about a boat.
Yeah, but I think if you're in a military capacity... You're going to die a lot slower in a boat and colder.
But I'm a woman, I'm not allowed. There was that one plane we were looking at, wasn't there, where it had wooden wings. And I just feel like that we were reading the plaque about this plane and it just said it's made of wood and fabric. And we couldn't think of two more flammable things to make a plane
out of.
Unless
the cockpit was fireworks. We're out.
Jet fuel, balsa wood and fabric. You're like, no, that's a mess.
Yeah. It was. What do you think of this as well? Because it blew my mind that the first... not the Royal Air Force, the precursor, the Air Corps,
British,
was founded, had 100 military planes 13 years after the Kitty Hawk.
Right, like, yes, yes.
It just, the history of flight that was there was unbelievable. So again, with your experience, have you ever been in any of the older planes?
No, I've not, certainly not flown in one, and I say that as if I've maybe sat in one, which I also have not done.
Have you been a flight simulator?
But what's also really interesting about the history of air travel is, and Stuart McConey, the radio presenter, had told me this, which was that the Wright brothers, after they had their first flight in that plane, it was like 3 years before anybody gave a shit. They told everybody, and everybody just kind of shrugged. And then they sort of, they travelled around with it. Because obviously when the first time they did it, no one was there.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like they could put it on Instagram and it could go viral. So they went around telling people, and there wasn't a great deal of momentum or interest. And they took it to various county fairs and country fairs. And then like internationally they took it to expos. And I think it wasn't until they took it to an expo in Paris or somewhere like that, that it really took off, so to speak.
There's the picture of that, the Paris one, at Duxford. It's one of them in the plane, and all these French guys, proper, like, Pathé News, throwing their hats in the air, like, by George!
Yeah. So it was a while that even after it had been invented, it took some time before anybody had anything
to appetite for. I'm trying to think, like, if there'd be an invention now where people... You know, Elon Musk could do something now and I'd go, oh, yeah, who cares? We're trying to get on with everyday life. I wonder if it felt a bit like that in a way.
Yeah, well, the electric car was a very long time coming.
Yeah.
You know, and it's still sort of on a pretty slow rollout, considering they kind of squashed it in
how
the 90s.
How useful it will be.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe it was that sort of thing of just being like, how does this affect me?
Because I suppose, though.
I've got cholera.
But like breaking free of the bonds of the earth.
Oh, don't put it like that.
But that's like, what it is.
Yeah, don't romanticise man's greatest achievements.
The average person isn't looking at Wilbur Wright in the air and being like, oh, well done him, he's broken free of the bonds of the earth.
But I'm
the
average person.
Look at that knobhead up there, I bet he crashes into a tree and dies.
Breaking free of the bonds of the earth, flicking the V's in the face of God.
If you're likely to die just from drinking water out of a well, I don't know how much you want to add to the risk by going in the sky.
Laura, it was the 20th century.
Yeah, I'm sure there were lots of well-related deaths. I think people were still dying of well diseases.
I think they were more likely dying of falling down them than drinking what came out of them.
Yeah. Well, both. And then once you're down there, what else are you going to drink? Unless you've fallen down with a thermos flask.
And then, of course, I suppose anybody who drank the water out of the well that had a dead guy in it, they probably won't have done...
Even worse.
Done overly well.
It's amazing we left wells running for as long as we did.
I mean, you're right. This has taken a turn.
Right, should we look at some TripAdvisor reviews?
No, I want to ask Ed one more question.
Okay,
you
go, Will.
I skimmed over it earlier and I'm very sorry about this. Mm-hmm. The air shows you mentioned. Have you been to the air shows?
Not actually been to the show there, but because here's the thing. I have a friend who lives quite near.
Fine.
And you can just, when there's an air show on, we can just go and sit in her garden and you can see the red arrows and all that. You can see the planes and you don't get them the up close thing. But no, I find it's much better value to either go to my friend's house on the day of the air show or visit Duxford in the week coming up, really leading up to the air show. I have been to air shows in the past. I saw a guy...
I'm not doubting you.
No. I went to... I mean, a lot of the time air shows are basically just sort of... They're just arms fairs that children are invited to, you know.
Oh God, that's a bleak.
Yeah, it is.
Kind of,
it is, admittedly, but
don't romanticise it, Ed.
There used to be one in Fairy House, the race course outside Dublin, and I went to that years ago. Because again, my cousin, my dad, you know, fixed planes for a living. We were kind of a family that were into air travel, and there was a display by three Polish agricultural planes. And one of them just fell out of the sky and the guy died. Yeah.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, so it was pretty...
I remember. So I'm from not too far from here, from Kettering. Mm. So do the balloon festival as well?
I've never been to a balloon festival.
Oh, God, I once did a gig at a balloon festival, and it was awful. We were in a car park at a primary school, right? And the stage is, like, under a tent, but the audience are just sitting on chairs in this school playground looking at the stage. So I'm on the stage looking out at the audience, and then as I'm watching... just about 40 hot air balloons, one after the other, starts taking off about 100 metres behind the audience. So the audience spend the whole time just sat round watching all the balloons go off. So it became less of a stand-up gig and more me just narrating 40 to 50 hot air balloons taking
Why
off behind.
Why would you put a stand-up comedian on at the very moment that the thing everybody is there to see
this
is
was
happening?
The question on everybody's lips.
I did a gig in Coventry.
The lead balloon.
I did a gig in Coventry 2 weeks ago. Not for a hot air balloon festival, just for like Coventry Festival in the afternoon in the hottest tent on the hottest day. And halfway through, I was emceeing the opening act set, half the audience just stood up, left the tent because the parade was coming past the tent. Then the parade went past at, I think, conservatively, a billion decibels and didn't stop for the entirety of the show working ever. Anyway, but I remember in the 90s. There was always someone from our school who'd gone to the Duxford Air Show, and always there'd always been a crash or something. It's a real like 90s thing, think people just falling out.
There was one not so long ago at the like
being reconstrained by
Shoreham,
the bonds of the earth.
I remember like within the last 5 or 10 years, there was one down our way.
Yeah,
I think at the Goodwood. No, yes. Not Goodwood. It must be Shoreham Air Show. There was a big one because they crash onto a motorway.
Onto a motorway.
Or something?
Yes, you're absolutely right. They did. Yes, I remember that. So I have. But the other thing about the Imperial War Museum, because you wouldn't think I would be that into a war museum as generally a very pacifist guy.
You're literally wearing a T-shirt right now that's a warplane dropping microphones out of it, and it says weapon of choice on the microphone.
Yeah.
So you do feel quite pacifist.
Yeah, I have
generally.
I have got that. And I'm Irish, you know. I don't have...
We're a neutral country.
The flag waving, you know, we gave the Bosch a bloody nose thing. I don't have any of that. But I do think that all the stuff about what it was like, you know, for civilians during World War II, and also all the exhibits to do with World War II, to the military paraphernalia. There's a whole hangar that's not even planes. It's all just, you know, like ambulances and cannons and all that kind of thing, anti-aircraft and all that, you know, and all this World War II memorabilia. The thing is, war these days is generally... I think World War II was the last time there was a war where you could say, these were the goodies and these were the baddies.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's... Even then, it was not hugely cut and dry, but I think it's fair to say that the Germans were the baddies. You know, like that. It's not complicated or complex.
You heard it here first, guys.
Germans declared baddies in World War II. So it's one of those ones where you can just kind of go and look at it and go... Yeah, this is all worth it. This is all a good idea. This is, you know, I'm glad they did that, and that seems like a very great idea. You know what I mean? You can kind of enjoy it in a far less complicated way, in a far less conflicted way.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
A Vietnam
memorabilia thing
would be
quite
incredibly
exactly.
It'd be more grey.
Mm.
Yeah,
especially if you go and visit the Imperial War Museum after you visited, say, a Holocaust museum or something like that, then you can just walk around with, you know, the 18 music in your head going, yes.
I think that might be the smartest thing that's ever been said on this podcast. 4 series in and not by one of us. God damn it!
It's never going to be us that said a smarter thing, Will. We can't count. Right, speaking of smart people, let's have a look at some TripAdvisors. So, I've got some positive ones first. It's overwhelmingly positive, the reviews. So we'll just have a quick look at the good things. There's one I wish I'd read before I went. It said, this is a great museum if you have any interest at all in planes or aviation. So, could have stayed at home.
But thanks for doing the podcast then.
they sort of warn about the walking. This one? If you love aeroplanes, you'll be in seventh heaven. So that's good, isn't it?
It is very... It does what it says on the tin. I mean, it says Imperial War Museum, but there's a big plane on the logo.
Here's a quick question. Sorry, Laura. I mean, you might know the answer to this. The amount of the planes that were painted with scantily clad, or in one case, nude.
Lady. Like that Memphis Belle style.
Yes. Yes. So, yeah.
Well, there was one that was called the Memphis Belle on one side, and it was her, like, hello.
Yeah.
Then the other side of the same plane, Lucy B, which is a naked woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to Laura, why do you think that is? And she said, because it's very male and men like tits.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know any more information on that?
Are you going to ask Ed if he likes tits?
No, I'm not.
Because we've just done the smartest thing we've ever done on the podcast, and I don't want you to ruin it.
So, Ed, do you like tits? do you know... why they did that with the pin-up girls? Is there anything more?
I don't have any historical information on that, other than, you know, I'm sure it's just the obvious in the same way as for the same reason that truckers have got silver silhouettes of women on their mud flaps, you know.
It's just ladies.
It's just ladies. This is who we're doing it for. They also like a personification, don't they? Particularly the Americans. They like the whole Lady Liberty thing. They like, you know, so I think the Memphis Belle kind of symbolises a sort of, you know. You know,
come home in one piece, boys.
Exactly,
and you know what piece I mean.
And like the plane is sexy in a way. So if you make her a she, like a sexy lady plane, you feel more protective.
And the engines are like boobs.
Yeah, and you love engines.
And the bullets that are flying are milk. If it's a twin engine, if it's got twin, you know.
Like in Austin Powers.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's just got one gun, then that's more jizzy.
Oh, no.
I'm very sorry.
Who's this podcast for? That's what we're trying to nail down. It's just a
historical loving
plane. Tell you what I'm trying to nail down.
I'd love to fuck a plane.
So does this TripAdvisor contributor. Great. He says, a wow place to visit with so much to see and take in. It says Concord's a must. And then our last good one, I love this one, is this person's only ever contribution to TripAdvisor. Their TripAdvisor name is just Cool Boy.
Cool Boy, yeah. Too cool to do anything more than one review.
Cool Boy.
5 stars. Oh yes, sexy caca, it says. It says, if you like big, nice planes, then go here, you mother lovers. It is very exciting and very delicious to see the planes that go up and down, and the planes are very much very nice.
They had to sit down, verify their email address, put in all their details.
Will, what made you settle on Cool Boy?
Well, Cool Boy won't mistake
it. It sounds like Borat.
Yeah, maybe that's just the way I've read it, but yeah, it does. And the planes are, it actually says very much is very nicey in capital letters with 3 E's.
And it is also, this is from March this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody had a difficult down and came out with their personality totally changed.
They love that Duxford.
So I'm dying to hear what people who didn't like it.
So there's a lot of complaints. I've ignored all the ones about the exhibitions, because man, it sounds like the traffic is horrible around there during the exhibitions. This one I really enjoyed because the title of it is "We were both nearly run over near the toilets," but they've still given it 2 stars. Which I do like that. So they were annoyed about that. 2 stars here. Aeronautics exhibition is interesting, but the hangars are ranged along an outdoor walk of over a mile. Yeah, it's an airstrip. The museum staff were helpful, but the cafe staff were horribly rude and surly. The planes are great, but the rest will only suit those that want to bask in the self-delusional glow of dying colonialism.
See, there you go, the colonialism thing. See,
and that's from Mr. and Mrs. Hitler.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
I don't get... Yes, no, because there are some more modern... There was a Eurofighter there, a Typhoon, for a bit. But the American hangar has, as I say, it's got the Blackbird, which is from the 60s, you know. So it does have some more modern warfare stuff. But the majority of it is, as I say, it's World War II, which I just don't think of as being a colonial war.
Not,
you know,
not too much.
The British.
I mean, the Americans were involved, and they were technically a colony, so maybe then by that.
And we have a lot to answer for militaristically, but as you say.
World War II.
Even Churchill. Yeah. Churchill's not the great man everyone remembers, but for that 6 years, he gets a bye for stopping Nazis.
Yeah, I don't think it was like, this is what we, you know, laid waste to vast swathes of India with. It's not that gear, you know.
There's, and like, I like a walk. That wasn't a great, it wasn't like we were walking for hours between hangars.
No,
you may be walking 4 minutes between hangars.
It is a long walk to get from like one end to the other.
Yeah, once you're done, I guess. But there's a shuttle bus.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. I believe this is sort of a
The way there, you break it up by enjoying what you paid to go in and enjoy.
Yeah.
Because there's so much. I mean, it's literally, there is so much there.
Yeah.
And so it's going to take you a long time to walk to it all.
Yeah, and it's an airfield anyway. Mm. So he doesn't like that.
Which was then really funny, I just thought of. So when I jokingly said that was by Mr. and Mrs. Hitler, after World War II, there were a few Hitler surnames.
Yeah.
They're like, well, we can't have this. So a lot of them changed their names. There are Hatlers and Hutlers. And there's one guy who moved to America, like a distant second, third cousin, and he changed his name to Shitler. Why would you do that to yourself?
People used
be
to
on your
me
own side,
school.
Mate.
Where did, how did you spell it? Was it C-H?
S-H-I-T-L-E-R.
Brilliant.
So it might have been an S-C-H, you know, like Schitt's Creek type
thing.
No,
because
maybe he just
to
wanted to be
yeah.
make it really clear that he didn't think Hitler
didn't
was
think
a good
Hitler was
person.
A good guy.
What, the Hitler, like you double barrel, the Hitler, not that one.
Yeah, Hitler, I actually don't like him. Like,
Uncle Adolf is bad.
Yeah. This review here is another one star. This falls into a category that I like to call entitled parents. We visited with our 3 to 4 year olds and felt disappointed. For curious toddlers, there is nothing to touch and interact with.
Well, that's bullshit.
There's loads.
You know, there's the whole, you know, how planes work thing.
Yeah.
If you're 3 or 4, you're not going to understand how any of it works.
Yeah,
there
you
is
don't
a
know
playground,
what drag
though.
Is.
It's absolutely a playground.
Yeah. And also, sorry your kid can't touch this Second World War plane that's, anyway, it drives me crazy.
Take them soft play. That's what they want.
Are you ready for a word to be included in a review that you wouldn't imagine should be included in a review
please
of Duxford Imperial
Museum?
Please
don't be a racial slur.
No, it's going to be fine.
Go on.
The museum is amazing, but the cafe is an utter disgrace. Prepare to be financially raped.
Oh, right, okay, right. Yeah, I didn't know that's where it was going to go.
Nobody's
right until I thought you were going to say ruined. I mean, I really did.
Mm-mm-mm.
Also, just say bankrupted.
Yeah.
It gets the point across.
Or robbed.
Yeah.
Goes on to say, the prices are disgusting. I don't know what they're chatting about, but they're doing that. £7 for a kid's lunch bag that contains one plain cheese roll, a mini bag of popcorn and a bruised apple. It is disgusting and is shameful.
I'm going to admit, I think we only ever ate there once, and we were very busy, and I remember thinking, right, next time we come here, we'll bring food.
Bring a packed
so
lunch.
So we do bring food when we go there.
There are some criticisms of it. this one. If you're... I think this one was written by a World War II Bomber Command. because it says...
Not enough World War II Bomber Command.
If you're planning a visit to IWM Duxford to learn about World War II Bomber Command, don't go. They have a lovely Canadian Lancaster, and the talk they charge you to hear is good regarding Lancasters and aircrew challenges. But the Bomber Command presentation is essentially stating as fact inaccurate, discredited criticisms regarding Bomber Command's extraordinary accomplishments that proved vital to victory. Duxford is essentially silent. That is deeply disappointing. Sadly, I saw over 100 school children during my visit. I hope none of them heard the Bomber Command presentation.
Oh dear. Because I guess that's because they did drop a lot of bombs on, you know, civilians and on civilian buildings.
Children.
And, yeah.
That is an uncredited criticism.
Apparently,
that you
that,
are.
Did that not happen?
Perpetuating in the face of Big Bomber Command.
Bomber Command did Dresden, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. I get bad. We were the goodies. We made a mistake with Dresden.
And that there's a very long one that's sort of... anyway, I only included it. There's a big scandal where... You can't upgrade a ticket you've already got to a yearly pass, guys. You have to buy the yearly pass on the way in.
Yes.
You can't just upgrade it on the way out.
No.
And then I really enjoyed just a line here. We are all very disappointed, especially our grandchildren.
Oh.
No grandchild in the history of the world has ever gone home bemoaning the financial insecurity. Come on, Duxford, explain how you think this is a good business plan.
How long ago was that from?
That was from... It might be a couple of years ago, that one. Is this the one that goes on to say, in capital letters, Are you listening, Duxford?
Ooh, I think they did listen. I could be wrong. Well, we did get a... What's called... we were friends of Duxford.
Oh, yeah.
We got the family thing where you can go for free. You know, I think if you go more than three times a year, it pays for itself.
Yeah.
And so we did. We were friends of Duxford for a bit, which is also great because when it's really, really busy, you get to skip the queue. Proper velvet rope carrier.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But I think we just... We bought it on the way in, though. We didn't buy it on the way out.
Because we were saying that as we were leaving, because obviously, like, we didn't quite get down to the bottom with the American hangar. So, but you could go back, like, if we went again, we probably would bomb straight down to the bottom, see those bits first. So you could kind of go and spend 2 or 3 hours and only see a couple of hangars and go, oh, we'll go to Duxford and see X and Y today.
Yeah.
And then 3 months later, go back and see a different one. You could happily go 3 times in a year and not look at the same stuff.
Totally.
Like, there's so much.
Yeah, there was. And so the one criticism I would have of it is, and I couldn't find anything to dissuade me from this, it's quite expensive for a one-off.
Mm-hmm.
But I was trying to find out if they do that thing where you buy a ticket and that buys you entry for a week. Because if you were local, you're like, oh, I'll go today. Whereas I would love to go and see the American thing again.
Yeah.
But, I mean... cards and say, well, they gave us press tickets today, so we didn't pay to go in, but £30 to see the whole thing would have been fantastic, but £60 to see the tour would have been like, oh, that's quite a lot. That's
because I hit a point with museums. I love them, but after about 3.5 hours, I'm like,
Have you been to the Louvre?
I have not been to the Louvre.
It's too big.
Yeah.
It's too big. You go in and you're like, wow, I thought that'd be better. Wow, I'm knackered. Oh my God, there's 3/4 of it left.
Yeah. I only have the brain power for that. And then beyond that, I'm like, it's just more old stuff.
One note to end on.
Hey, thanks for listening. Well,
the point is, I mean, it's not a bad complaint for a museum to have, that there's too much there for you to take it all in one visit.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's why it is, we are local, and... Now that the kids are at school, we don't go as often as we used to. But I reckon the next time we'll go, we'll probably buy the year-long ticket again.
Yeah.
We always, you know, go on the reg.
It must be nice as well, particularly if you are local, you know, say the kids are away, you are busy, you go, I might just nip down and have a look at the American exhibit. Or if you're writing, no, that's very specific, but like writing, you can just go and do a thing. I love just going and doing a thing.
Mm.
So I just go to a coffee shop. I could just go and wander around, have a bruised apple there for 8 quid or whatever it was. Do a bit of writing and come home.
I don't know, I'd probably watch TV instead.
Well, I'm going to go and protest the Bomber Command exhibit and say, those bombs were all laser pinpoint accuracy.
This has been discredited. Yeah.
This has been discredited.
This is furious. Do it, please, dressed as a Bomber Command. Thank you very much. Thank you for having us and for telling us all about Duxford and for sending us.
Not at all. I hope you enjoyed it.
We did. We really did.
Is there anything you want to
plug? I got nothing.
Great.
Do you still doing your walks?
I haven't been because everybody's back at work and I'm just scourging people. I'm just annoying people, asking them to come up the hills with me. So I hopefully we'll get back to it. I've got one in the can with Daniel Sloss and one in the can with Zoe Lyons. And I want to get two more in the can before I put four up, you know. So then Bill Bailey keeps saying that he'll do it, but then I can never turn him down.
Wait for Bill Bailey to sort his bloody diary out and then watch this series coming out soon.
Yeah. But no, thank you very much for sending us. Can't imagine anybody listening to this doesn't know who you are more than they know who we are. So, lovely.
And there we have it. What a wonderful chat with a wonderful man about a wonderful place. That was our chat with Ed Byrne about the brilliant Imperial War Museum.
Can you believe
Museum
we chatted
Duxford.
To Ed Byrne?
In his house.
Do you remember when we were on our way there and we were both like, oh my God, we're going to hang out with Ed Byrne? Like, he's just absolute comedy royalty.
I love it. I love the fact that doing this job, you know, you occasionally have to do a motorway diversion for 9 hours to go back from dying on your ass in fucking, I don't know, Gloucester. But sometimes you get to go and hang out with Ed Byrne at his house. And it's a bit nice.
Yeah. I'm still a little bit like, I hang out with Ed Byrne.
I
Listen, we chatted about the... We chatted with Ed about the Sandman comics that he loves. Have you been watching the Sandman TV show on Netflix?
I haven't, no.
Oh, it's so good. Whenever I'm watching it, I just think, I've chatted with Ed Byrne about this in his house, and I'm a bit special. But that's too far.
You say, hello, Ed Byrne. I'm watching that TV show we chatted about in your head. In your head? House.
And then I'll just do kissy faces at him.
Listen, listeners, it's over to you now. What are we going to talk about for the next 2 weeks? We've got to round out IWM month with two researched episodes. So for the next 2 weeks, we will be presenting some finely researched, hastily researched stuff. But what do you want the subjects to be? We'll be doing two episodes, one that I research and tell Will about, one that Will researches and tells me about. Your options are Concord. Do you want us to do a deep dive on Concord? Do you want us to find out as much as we can about planes in World War One?
The planes of World War One.
Do you want us to find out, and I think I already know this one's going to win, about sexy pictures on planes? Why are there sexy ladies
pictures
on planes?
Kiss, kiss, kiss.
Will we'll love doing the research for sexy pictures. He'll just put sexy pictures into Ask Jeeves and see what that dirty butler brings him.
And Lycos, that dirty dog.
I forgot about him. Or do you want us to research the Wright brothers in the Wright Flyer? We'll put this as a poll on Twitter, but if you're not on Twitter and you would prefer to get in touch with us another way, hey, we'll add your votes up. You can Instagram us. We are at Treasures Pod.
We are. We have been for about 2.5 years by now, yeah.
Are we just Treasures Pod everywhere?
Fuck me. We are Treasures Pod everywhere apart from email, in which we are nationaltreasurespodcast@gmail.com.
So let us know. Concord, planes in World War One, sexy pictures on planes, or the Wright brothers in the Wright Flyer. And whatever you choose will be the subject of next week's episode.
So the poll will be up. Get your votes in.
Yeah. Okay.
But we do love you, though.
We do love you. We love you so much. And we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.